even human sacrifices, but it was like a whole technical thing. Yeah. Good. Huh? They put a hook on it. Okay. Oh. Shh. Yeah. Yeah. Kam karoti vachalam. The same thing. Yakaripata maham vande Shri Gurundina Parana. Okay, let's chant a little bit, huh? Yeah. That's one nice prayer. You have a songbook? You know? Jayavada Madhava? No? No songbook? You don't have any? No? Okay. Yeah. I'll explain it. It's one nice song. It's very short. Every day we sing it before class. And it's four lines. Jaya Radha Madhava. Is there?
Yeah, no?
Okay. Yeah. Is it? Yeah, okay. Yeah. This is written by Bhaktivinod Thakur. He's the spiritual master of Gaurakishore Babaji, who's the spiritual master of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who's Prabhupada's spiritual master. And he was a very powerful magistrate, judge, under the British authority in India. He was from Bengal. And so he was doing so much, you know, preaching, works like that, writing so many books like that to enlighten people. And so many thousands of people organized, you know, developed a whole program, institution. So he wrote many songs, and this is one that Prabhupada especially liked. So before every class, Prabhupada would chant this. So everything is there. Krishna, the river Jamuna. Yeah. When Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, like that, okay, it's my fanatic guy, moving knots. Actually, right here, we'll chant this. Om Agyanatimi Randasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Miliktam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So the prayers in the beginning here, like that. Yeah. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances to him. So this is the eighth chapter, and Krishna says, please repeat, Avyakto, unmanifested, Akshara, infallible, iti, así pues, thus, right? Okay, thus, okay, uktaha, said. Okay. Tam. That which. Ahuhu. Is known. Paramam. Ultimate. Gatim. Destination. Yam. That which. Prapya. In Spanish? That's some, yeah, what is that? Gaining.
Gaining.
Yeah. Na. Nunca. Never. Nunca. A Russian, yet.
Yet.
Nivartante.
Nivartante.
Comes back.
Comes back.
Yeah. Taddama.
Taddama.
That abode.
Paramam.
Supreme.
Mama.
Mine. Avyakto.
Akshara.
Iti uktas.
Iti uktas.
Iti uktas.
Iti uktas.
Avyakto kshara iti uktas.
Avyakto kshara iti uktas.
Tamahu.
Paramam gatim.
Yam prapya.
Nanivartante.
Tadama
Paramamama.
He says, back up a little bit. Okay. From the highest planet, from the highest realm in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti,
never takes birth again. One time I was in Ecuador, in Guayaquil. We had maybe 400 people. And it was like some professional college, and they wanted some edifying, you know, discussions on spiritual life. So presenting something. And it was in the evening, and it's the first time I asked this question. I said, how many people are suffering? You know? So out of 400 people, maybe 200 people raised their hand. You know? And then the other 200 people that didn't raise their hands, they looked at them, and about 180 more raised their hands. Only about 20 people didn't raise their hand, maybe because they were, didn't understand the question, or is damned and determined, I'm not suffering. You know? But even if you just stop and think about your body at any moment, different places are itching, the throat is congested, my nose is burning, it's like the whole thing is always, disturbing. Yeah. Prabhupada says, this body doesn't get diseases. This body is a disease. Right? It's like you have some ferruncula, boil growing. And no such thing as a good ferruncula. Oh, look at that, decorating. No, the only thing is to get rid of it like that. So this body is a bacteria, a virus, growing on the soul. Right? And when we get rid of it, externally, the mind, the senses, then we, come out without this thing sucking all of our blood from us.
It looks to me like we actually don't understand what the body is.
Blood, pus, mucus, urine, bile. In the mind.
In the mind, exactly.
Yeah.
It looks like that this is like a body.
Yeah.
So when we learn how to open the body.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you have clothes that are old and dirty. When you take them off and you feel better. So that's why the material world, that's the question, Because some people think we can make the kingdom of God here. We were working with many ecology groups. And one person had been maybe 30 years. What's his name? Michael Pilarski. Skeeter Pilarski. He's president of the International Association for Friends of the Trees, and big guy, And he has a big organic farm, like 40 acres, and very successful, So we have a big farm community in Canada. It's like about 1,200 acres, like that. Very big project. So they came there to do seminars, for 2 weeks, showing how to plants, animals, water, everything. And they, maybe like about 40 other people came to live on the property, to take the seminar. So very nice. And we were giving classes in the morning. He was coming. He said, your idea seems to be that this world is the best use of a bad bargain. Mejor uso de una mala ganga. If you buy a bad automobile, okay, so let me, I made a mistake, but I got to use it. Okay. And our idea, many people, is that we can make paradise on this earth, And your idea is someplace else. And he said, after being a ecology guy, for 25, 30 years, he said, I'm coming to the same conclusion. You can make things comfortable here. It's like in the prison, right? If you live properly, if you're a good prisoner and everything else, then it's okay, You can get psychological help for all your horrible things that happened to you when you were a child. You can get vocational training, right? And then you can gradually get integrated with your family. And then if I go outside, I have this anger problem. I just get in a fight and hurt somebody again. So, okay, so right now I don't want to go out. But I don't want to stay here forever either. This is the ideal prisoner, right? Yeah. So at that point, that's the material world. It's like, la mundo material es una manicomia. Manicomia. Nut house. Yeah. So that's the idea, and we can investigate, but Krishna is saying that this is what it is. It's a place where,
Actually, that's what it is.
Yeah.
The problem is here.
Yeah, yeah. So best use of a bad bargain.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
even though it's a bad bargain, we need to learn how to cook it.
Yeah. And that's what all the Vedas describing, how you can, if we're living properly, God is supplying sumptuous food for men and animals. And 2 hours a day work is enough. Then when it's time to harvest, maybe you work from the time the sun comes up to the time the sun goes down. But you feel very happy because every day you're bringing in so many grains. And wintertime comes, nothing. You know? But basically 2 hours a day is all you really need if you want to live simply. Okay, you want more fancy clothes, better car, okay. But basically if you want to live a simple life, then all the rest of the time, then you can cultivate. You know, music, art, dance, poetry, architecture, like that. Because we have a lot to do. Yeah. The subtle body, the gross body can become purified, but after that there's contamination for Prabhupada says we become human beings after hundreds of millions of lifetimes. Like how many times have we been bacteria in the sink, right? Dying. And so finally we get this human body, and so much history. One girl, this is a true story. What is it? I mean, combining two stories or not, but it made a movie out of it. And she was like an assistant teacher in New York City. And the movie starts off, and she was about 21 or 22. And she was an assistant teacher for some high school class, and five, six high school classes had gone, elementary, had gone to the Central Park just to have a picnic and see the things. So then the other teacher was doing something, so she was in charge of maybe 20 students. And she started doing Simon Says. And Simon Says, touch your nose. Okay, Simon Says, do as I do. And Simon, walk like this. And she walked right into the lake. And with her clothes on, the students are like looking at each other like, we're supposed to walk into the lake also? No, it's like, you know. And the real teacher came over and kind of looked at her, and she was looking bewildered, and she took the students away, you know. So then maybe like about, you know, a year later, father and mother took her to a big restaurant, a big hotel, you know, in the Waldorf or something, and, you know, in New York, and very nice lunch, and then halfway through the lunch, she started pouring water all over the table. And was watching. Yeah. So it kept happening, you know, more and more often, until finally she couldn't work anymore, and so she had to go see a psychologist. So one lady was Viennese lady, you know, very big, you know, great psychologist in a big house in New York. So she was going there, and she was doing hypnosis and different things and getting her trust. Well, what is it about water, you know? And it was, you know, going back like this and that, you know. So I think what had happened was, I can't think of any two stories, but the same thing basically. After a long time and a lot of fear and dealing with these things and going through them, I came back to something like when she was like a little girl, maybe like 3 years old, her father had died, like that. You know? Now remember, her father took her to the restaurant instead of the hotel, so it must have been a previous lifetime. You know? Her father had died, and her mother had to go to a different city to take care of the funeral arrangements. So she left her with her aunt, who was a little bit like crazy person like that, you know. So she's afraid and everything else like that, and her nervous, my daddy's never coming back, and so on. So one morning she's having breakfast, and then the pot broke on the stove, Pyrex, and the water was just spilling like that. So her aunt accused her of doing it. She said, I didn't do it. You know, don't lie. I didn't do it, you know. And so then it went on like that, and she did something, you know. And that was the trauma. That was the cause of this fear, this anxiety like that. And the room was green. And she always remembered this green room like that, you know. But she would come back to this point, and she couldn't, like, you know, face what her aunt had done to her like that. You know? She couldn't, you know, face it. So then after many sessions, and finally she's coming to this point where she's just about ready with the help of the psychologist to go ahead and just go through this, you know. And the phone rings. Psychologist turns around, lady talks to the phone, I can't help you now, I'll call back later, comes back. And the girl's gone. You know? So she goes out and she finds her under the piano in her house, holding onto the leg like this, you know, completely autistic, completely just like that. And she never came back again. She just, the rest of her life was in the mental hospital. You know? So the psychologist, you know, the movie finishes with her saying like to herself, her thoughts, like, what did that monster do in that green room? Like that. So we it happens, you know, not just one life, you know, because you see when babies are born, no? Some are very friendly, some are very nervous, some learn to dance very easily, Some can't dance, some can do music. It's not DNA. You know? That's DNA and RNA that give you the vehicle. But you've been learning things, you know, developing attitude, perspective. And that's buddhi, buddhi, perspective. On that basis, the mind works on our perspective. And so the senses change, the mind changes, but intelligence can persist, you know, for a long time. So then we have to, you know, deal with the body. Yeah, get the body, okay, straightened out. Yeah, but then get the mind straightened out. And then finally, the buddhi, the intelligence, the perspective, like that. Right. So it's a lot of work. You know? So 2 hours a day, we'll take this to take care of the body. Then after that, we'll start working on this other thing, like that. We were in Vrindavan, and Krishna was appeared in a transcendental place. And I was taking the boys out every day, about 8 kids to play in the Gurukula, the kids, Goshala, where all the cows were, nice fields. And one boy started digging up this weed. It was like this tall. He's digging it up like that, you know, and stuff. And he goes down to the point where his arm can't reach anymore, you know. Wow, the root's just going down, you know. So I started digging on it. And I got down this far, right, as far as I could go. And all the boys had gathered around like that, you know. And it still hadn't reached the bottom. So on top it was this big. Can't stop smoking, right? Well, okay, what's behind that? That's what we've gone, you know, at that point we all paid our obeisances to this weed. Please forgive us. You know, I didn't know who you were. And went back, you know. So some things may be very quick. You know, maybe one devotee, Tripakram Swami, said when he joined he had two problems, anger and smoking. And he thought, oh, I'll get free from this anger, you know, but smoking, oh, I'm really attached, you know. He said, after 2 weeks, he stopped smoking, never attracted again, chanting like that. And he said, even after 35 years, he still has, you know, a problem with anger. And he sees, like, he's going deeper and deeper why it's there and stuff like that. But somebody else has another problem. You know, romance, you know, food, you know, greed, you know, fear. You know, yeah, so many. Because, well, you know, all these, you know, things like that. So you got to, like, before you take the shirt off, you got to, like, you know. Yeah. It's called pranayama. Yeah. And then pratyahara is withdrawing. You know. So asana, not yama niyama, do's and don'ts. Don't smoke, get up early. Okay. And then asana, when to sit properly. You know. And from that, then, pranayama. And once that, then out of that, pratyahara, withdraw from the body. Then you start going inside. Dharana, dhyana, samadhi. So a bhakti yoga from the very beginning, because Krishna incarnates. You know, Christianity, Islam, he comes. He's there at the temple, church, the cross. You know, go to Mecca, bow down 6 times a day to Mecca. So he incarnates. He comes in a form we can approach right away. You know. But it touches your heart. What is the most difficult yoga posture? Dandavat. Just paying your obeisance is like a stick, like that. It's most difficult. But it's very rare to find a yogi who can do this, because they're so proud of being, you know, so flexible, vegetarian. Yeah. So the real thing is pretty much pride, arrogance. And so from the very beginning, you know, bhakti yoga, which is Christianity, same thing, teaches you to bow your head and say prayers and stuff. Yeah. And then automatically, everything else follows. Okay. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Yeah. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together is the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. Yeah, he's the big angel in charge of the whole thing. When Brahma's day is manifest, this multitude of living entities comes into being, and at the arrival of Brahma's night, they are annihilated. Yeah. Again and again, the day comes, and the host of beings is active, and again the night falls, O Partha, and they are helplessly dissolved. Yet there is another nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. Right? It is supreme and is never annihilated. What is this? Huh? What is that? Come on, say it, say it. English.
English?
Yeah. Okay. Where is it?
It's gone.
Yeah. Is it there? This is a big question in philosophy. Is it there?
Yes.
You think, is it there? It's there in an unmanifested form, as philosophically. So this material world, now it's all manifested. Like you take some yarn, you know, you're knitting, and you have a sweater, right? But you have to pull one piece of yarn, though, right? Oh, is the sweater there? Well, it's not manifest. So this material world is like that. It all comes together, all because of our desire. But then sometimes Krishna takes it all back into his body, and we all become, you know, sleeping like that. Yeah? So the mind. So again and again, the day comes and helplessly dissolve. Yet there's another nature which is eternal, and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme, and is never annihilated. When all the world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. That supreme abode is called unmanifested and infallible, and it is a supreme destination. This is the verse we had here. Yeah. Yeah. When one goes there, he never comes back. That is my supreme abode. In Prabhupada's purport. The supreme abode of the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna is described in the Brahma Samhita as Chintamani Dham, a place where all desires are fulfilled. And the supreme abode of Lord Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan, is full of palaces made of touchstone. Piedra de toque? Let me see. Toque de piedra? ¿Y qué toque que puede convertir fierro a oro? Philosopher's stone? What do you call it? Lapis lazuli. Piedra de piedra. Thanks for piedra de toque. Yeah, 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 okay. The whole place is made of that. Everything there is made of those. There are also trees called desire trees that supply any kind of eatable, comestible, upon demand. And there are cows known as Surabhi cows that supply unlimited quantities of milk. In this abode, the Lord is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. And he is called Govinda, the primal Lord, and the cause of all causes. The Lord is accustomed to blow his flute. Yeah. His transcendental form is the most attractive in all the worlds. His eyes are like the lotus petals, and the color of his body is like clouds. And very beautiful gray, not black, not gray, but bluish, full of rain, so intense. He is so attractive that his beauty excels that of thousands of cupidos. He wears saffron cloth, a garland around his neck, a peacock feather. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna only gives a little hint, indication, of his personal abode, which is the supreme most planet realm in the spiritual world. A vivid description is given in the Brahma Samhita, which is probably this is paraphrasing here. Nothing superior to that. It is the ultimate destination. Huh? And Krishna is not different from that. On this earth, Vrindavan, 90 miles southeast of Delhi, is a replica of that supreme Goloka Vrindavan, located in the spiritual world. When Krishna descended on this earth, he sported in that tract of land known as Vrindavan in the district of Mathura, India. So you can still go there. It's just like if they're calling. Quick, everyone's gone mad in the prison. We need you. There's a helicopter for you. Yeah, yeah. Wow. So it's like if you're in Mexico City, right? You know, and some police are chasing somebody. He runs into the Japanese embassy. Police can't follow him because that is actually a part of Japan. That's the law. Any embassy until the government, they tell them go away. At that point, that becomes a part of Japan, and they have their own laws and everything like that. So when God descends in this world, Krishna, Vrindavan, it also comes with him, like that. It's an embassy. And the laws of the material world don't work there. Yeah, if you go to the Japanese embassy and you want to eat tamales, okay, they'll give you Mexican food. But really, they're eating, you know, sushi and, I don't know what else, seaweed, Japanese things. So if you want to go to Vrindavan, It's 164 square miles, 168 square miles, Mathura. And that's what Krishna said. This is, come here, try and do devotional service here. Like a temple, a very special place. Mm. So there he is, very reactive, very dangerous too. Because if you have selfish desires, they start becoming manifest very quickly. Yeah, like that. And so you go there, you see, it's a fact. This place is what it's supposed to be. It's a very dangerous place. Yeah. And so everybody there is very unusual place, Vrindavan, 168 square miles. And then just in the city of Vrindavan, which is one town within the whole county district, there's 5,000 temples in one city like that. Some are like, you know, there's half the size of this room, but some are big palaces, 100 to 100 years old. There's so many kings, so many groups. We have, in the city of Brintana, Vrindavan, we have maybe like about 5 acres or more than that. You know, 6 acres now, 6 acres, 7 acres, beautiful temple. And we're also building maybe 5, 6 more temples there. But so many other groups also, not just us, so many other groups also, because that's where Krishna came. And behind the scene, you see everything is like he's still there. Like that. So many activities, pastimes. So Vrindavan. That was 5,000 years ago. Yeah. So Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, you know, in this atmosphere. An age of bronze. Everything very fine, very subtle. And now it's becoming more gross and coming down like that with explanation. Like that. To understand all these things. Because not everybody's so materialistic. This modern world is so mechanistic. You know, they think I am this machine, this body. I am this body. The body is a machine, like that. They're all atoms and molecules. You know? Abortion is just some chemical adjustment. Here's $100. Take care of your little problem. It's like, but it's not. It's horrible. You know? You realize we're more than machines. Vrindavan Dham Ki.
Yeah. Yeah. Those who reach Mayapur, they never come back.
Yeah.
So we were also over there, then we fallen down because we wanted to imitate Krishna.
Yeah.
So, but then how come it says that we don't go come back, but then we have a choice over there?
We're not forced to come back. Yeah. In the material world, you can go very high, become big position, but in the end, you're forced to fall down. Perhaps like an airplane, it can fly very high in the sky, but unless it gets some shelter, it has to come down. There's a phrase in business that says, be nice to the people you meet on the way up, because you'll meet them again on the way down. And that's just the nature of the material world. It's just because everybody's trying to crawl on top of everybody else. And for some time, you know, there's nothing here. We explained this last night. And so if I'm going to enjoy, that means somebody else has to suffer. So for some time, I'm allowed to exploit you, but then, you know, you're allowed to exploit me. You know? And so there's always this complicated. You ever seen a barrel full of crabs? Probably haven't seen this. And then the guys in the fishermen, they eat these. You have these barrels full of crabs, and they're all just crawling on top of each other. It's just like terrifying, you know, like that. So one man, his friend, he just came from Ireland, 1890, and they finally went through the processing, and they got into New York, and they're walking around now, you know, America, the land of opportunity. Wow. And they saw there was two barrels of crabs. One was like, you know, one was $1 and one was $5, you know, crabs. And all the crabs are crawling on each other, and some get a hold of the edge of the barrel, others pull them down. And they're watching, and one crab in the $1 barrel was very determined. And was stepping on everybody else, biting them. And finally he got a hold of the thing, and people were trying to grab him, but he pulled himself up, and he fell over into the $5 crab barrel, right? And the Irishman said to the other guy, he said, look, only in America. Can you, right? Fight your way up to be a $5 crab. Yeah. And who takes the most cocaine? Rich folk? Yeah. Is it cocaine is God's way of telling you're making too much money? That's the phrase. Yeah. It's pretty much, it's like a certain level. You know, not much money you're suffering, but too much you're also suffering. The people who are actually happy is people have like a moderate amount of money. You have to be a little careful, and then they're okay. You know, when you start getting more, you just start suffering. You know? You can't use it properly. You know, it creates all this envy, you know, like that. Yeah. So better be a $2 crab. to the autograph. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Because we always have free will. Yeah. Even in the spiritual kingdom, we can leave, you know. And leave. We can go like to this part. You know. Yeah, everything is in God's control. You know. The children, they just wanna carry on in an uncivilized fashion. The mother tries to stop them again and again. She says, okay, I'm gonna go inside and make cookies. Anybody who wants to help me can come, but you can stay out here and do whatever you want to do, like that. That's Kali Yuga. You can do whatever you want to do. You can even eat other people if you want to eat other people, like that. You know, violence, arrogance. We're kind of nice people. Probably associate with nice people, pretty much. yeah. But I mean, but you begin to see people who I mean, you can really. Boise is a nice place too, Rabbi speaking. But you go to other places and you see how like this unbelievably cruel the people can be. And they enjoy that. That's how they're getting there. You tell that they're confused. They don't know what happiness is, but they think, you know, they're very powerful and just, you know, torturing people in subtle and gross ways like that. Yeah? You derive happiness. Yeah? So, this is the material world. So, I mean, we learn. You know, by doing this, you know, children come inside, they're pulling each other's hair and biting each other, and they come inside, and the mother says, okay, did you learn something? Well, yeah, got to share your toys. Yeah. yeah. So that's why Kali Yuga happens. It's the most horrible time. Yeah. But, you know, but even the enjoyment is just, you know, the opposite side of that. So Krishna creates this opportunity, okay, you want to be like me, you want to try and become God or something, okay, try it out. I don't recommend it. So we go from Goloka to Ayodhya to Vaikuntha to Mahavishnu. You know, every step of the way, there's effort. Don't be like that. You know? But okay, determined. Yeah. And one purport published says everybody enters the material world as Brahma, you know, the angel in charge of this one universe. And I guess right at that point you can get back out. But it's because of our own determination we get, you know, we create. That's all we have. We have free will. God is always trying to give us to. Get us to do something better. Yeah. We're very curious. So, free will. What is free will then? There's love. Because we're as good as God. We're small, but He knows that He's not forcing us to bring Him a flower. Yeah. Not out of fear, not out of, you know, desire. We're doing because He wants to. Wow. So in the spiritual world, there's actually love because people can do what they want to. Yeah. And God is not so majestic. Here He's, you know, big to impress people. I'm God. You know. But there He's just kind of like His job, you know, like that. You know. Oh, He's God. Oh, okay. yeah. Yeah. Material life. So. Okay. Yeah.
Manifest itself, does it mean material? The reason I'm asking, the spiritual world is unmanifest.
Well, it says here, it says, manifested and unmanifested matter. Yeah. So there's no material manifestation of the spiritual world. Like that. Yeah.
As soon as we say manifest, then there's another source to kind of spiritual world.
The spiritual world has no material manifestation. I guess many means many, you know, like that. So, but the spiritual world is, you know, this is the whole thing. And Buddha says there's no reality, there's nothing, everything's false, shunyavada, it's all zero. So it kind of causes paranoia, you know. don't fight for anything, don't kill, don't be greedy, it's all, you're nothing. You know? So Shankaracharya comes after him and says, there is a reality, you know, there is a reality. What is it? Well, you're not ready for that. Few people, he's talking about it, but basically he's just saying, there is a reality. Oh, wow. How peaceful. Then Madhva comes after that and says, and reality has different aspects, you know, dualities. You and I are always different. We and God are always different. God and the material world, he's like 6-8 things. You know? I'm reading one Christian, St. Bernard, the Clair of All right now. He's talking about the Song of Solomon, the Canto de Cantos de Solomon. Yeah, about 20 lectures. This is maybe 12th century. But it's amazing how he's dealing exactly with these philosophical points we're discussing like that. He's lecturing to like senior monks and stuff. It's amazing. The same points that we're talking about here, we see more philosophy. No, it's been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. You know. So yeah, and the ultimate, we're very peaceful because we come in contact with Prabhupada, Jesus Christ. Yeah, there's heaven. You go there, you sit down with the Father to eat, you know. But other times it hasn't been. Even now, most people, the philosophy was. Christianity is there, but science is very prominent, that everything is happening, atoms and molecules. And what do they say? In the beginning there was nothing, and then the stars form, and the planets form, and, you know, it's like, you know, snails and frogs and, you know, hamsters and, you know, dogs, cats, and human beings. It's all, you know, strange. Yeah. But that, so that, you know, the spiritual world is manifest also, but, you know, spiritually, right? And as long as we're materially absorbed, it's just impossible for us to understand that. You know? Like, so it's a good story. Once upon a time, there was a frog. He lived in a... Okay, tell us a story.
The frog was in a well, and then there's a river flowing in the ocean. It's from the ocean, the frog finds its way into the well somehow, and then it comes in, drops into the well.
A salamander. a second frog.
Yeah, second frog. But there's another frog that's already in the well. It's a senior guy. No, okay, who are you? Well, I know it's a frog. Like, where did you come from? Well, I used to live in an ocean. Oh, ocean. How is it like? What's an ocean? Is it, how big is it? Oh, it's very big. You know, it's very big. Okay. And it jumps a little bit. Yeah? This is my well, and it jumps a little bit. Is it this big? No, it's very big, very big. Then it hops a little bit more power, and jumps more. Is it this big? No, it's much bigger. Because it all the way leaps from this end to that end. Is it this big? No, it's much bigger. There's nothing bigger than this. I've been here, I know this. This is the biggest place you could ever find.
And the story is, the one version is, each time he does it, he puffs himself up until finally he explodes. Yeah. So we can't understand, as long as we're materially absorbed, we just can't understand, like, how there can be a place where people don't die. You hear these things, it's in the Quran also, you die for Allah, you go, you marry 50 virgins, you have all this wine which doesn't make you intoxicated. It's, you know, it's all these, like, it sounds like there's some kind of, you know, fairy tales to get people to worship the priests, you know. You know? But, you know, that's why they don't start like that. You start off with the beginning saying, just be peaceful, you know, don't fight for things. You know, karate means empty-handed. So Buddha said no weapons, you know, like that, you know. There's this whole thing of be nonviolent, be peaceful. Buddha's main thing was ahimsa. Ahimsa, peace, especially with the animals. You know? And after that, he says, then you can start to cultivate, you know, spiritual qualities. He said, spiritual life is very important. You should understand what it is. What is it? I'm not going to talk about it, but you should take it as very important. Okay. And then in some ways, you look, he's giving, like, you know, more confidential knowledge like that. You know? But it's all they can, you see, different people, that's all they can take. You know, we discover our own level. There will always be people higher than us and lower than us, right? Always, you know. So we're going to help the people lower and try and get some help from the people above. You know, so we can make progress, become better servants. Because Krishna has a lot of service. Yeah. In Goloka. Wow. Yeah. So, okay? Yeah, so prakriti pradhan, not the material energy, it's always exists. Material energy always exists. It goes into the body of Mahavishnu when he's sleeping, when there's no more universes. And when he starts to, it goes out. Like right now, it's like, you know, it's hot, there's perspiration, and some little particles of water, right? They're very small, right? They're very tiny, but they're coming off. So with his body, every single one of those is a universe. That's how big he is, yeah. That's an analogy too, because there's no time at that level. You know, so it's an analogy, you know. And for each of those little universes, then, you know, when Brahma enters, and it's like a prison. Brahma is like the trustee, the most trusted prisoner. So he's like given this job of like Yeah, pretty much he can run the whole place. Mm-hmm. If he does it okay, then he can leave. Like that. You know? So very developed cosmology. Cosmology? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that. Yeah. And you find it's very similar to many other China and places like that. Yeah?
It's kind of interesting that you're telling the story of cosmology. Because one in
oh, yeah?
Who, I think you remember him, Walsh.
Oh.
We got on the point of cosmology.
Yeah.
In terms of the sun and the moon.
Yeah.
And when that point came up, he lost it. He just rejected everything. And
yeah.
It was just this like the doctor's frog in the well. And he hasn't been back since.
Wow.
It's just interesting. He maintains he still chants.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking of that too, because you mentioned that Buddha is emphasizing that we have to be peaceful.
Yeah.
And that is in the guise of religious activity.
Yeah.
We have to be directed somewhere.
Yeah.
Before we can actually engage in
yeah.
some kind of spiritual level.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because Prabhu here sent a email about people becoming.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
you know, Hindu.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, a lot of people I hear them, before you said that, I said, how timely that was.
Yeah.
So many people are saying that I'm spiritual,
uh-huh.
but they have no practice.
Yeah, yeah.
So how can you be spiritual
yeah.
without any practice?
One big politician in India, he said, you can declare from the ramparts, I am a Hindu, but don't look at my refrigerator. Because you know, Hindus don't eat meat, don't eat eggs, you know, don't take alcohol. But now it's become very popular to call eggetarians, to start eating eggs. And then Bombay Pilsner, trying to make beer in India. But so that's the kind of, you know, there's things like, you know, it was, you know, it's like, you know, there's no, you declare this thing, but you haven't got the practices. Yeah. Yeah. We're all Hindus.
Well, I guess every afternoon, lots of people
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Go to the disco. Disco with Juana.
Do you have something in disco?
No. So that he says there's many levels.
Uh-huh.
On those levels, they put on one of them. There's much, there's spiritual people that are really
yeah.
that also
yeah.
could be some really low.
Mm-hmm. Like you go to a liquor store, you sell your spirits, right? In many religions, God is equated with fire. Because you know, for us, it's like a. When Peter Ralston, you know the movie Bloodsport, that movie with Kurt Van Damme, that's a real event. It's every maybe 4 years in Asia, they have this competition, fighting competition, and it's any kind of style whatsoever, and they're only the best you know fighters on earth. And in the beginning, it was full impact with no protective things. And so many deaths, they changed it to the point where you had to control yourself a little bit. So this guy, I forgot his name, he won it like that, you know. And Peter Ralston, he had a school right in Berkeley like that. That's how I got, you know. And he was teaching Kung Fu, Xing Yi, and Kwa Pao, different styles. You know. And so I had black belts. I was walking by, kind of looking sometimes in the place, you know. And sometimes, for example, there's this thing you push it, you stand together like this, and you try and push the guy off balance like that. You go back and forth like that and try and, like, you know, make his feet, 1 foot come off the ground like that, the whole balance thing. And he's standing, like, facing the other person like that, you know. I saw him bend back like this from his legs. You can't do that. It's just nice, you know, then come back up again. You cannot do that. You know, backwards, I'd bend backwards like that and go up again like that. It was just, you know. One devotee was taking classes from him. He was a wrestler in high school, college. And so he said at one point in the beginning he had like five students around him, all like that, like college wrestler guys, you know. He said, okay, when I say go, you all try and attack me, you know. And he said, you know, he counted, Janardhan was a devotee, he said he counted 1,001, 1,000. In less than 2 seconds, all five of them were on the ground. And it didn't hurt them, but it took a second for them to, you know, catch their breath and be mobile again. It was like, you know, five guys, you know, tough guys. Yeah. So, yeah. So I asked one of his students, what is your you know, philosophy of nature, how nature exists. He said, oh, there's five elements, five gross elements. Mm. It's the same as orange, you know, like that. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. The wolf is... Jai, Hare Krishna, Balabhadra. This is this Bach flower remedies and massage. What is your name again? Jose. Jose also does massage, and that's his car out there. Oh. little trade. Tough day. Yeah. So we were at this Peter Ralston studio, the biggest martial arts guys in the world. And I was asking one of the students about this, and he said, oh, there's five gross elements in Chinese philosophy. Earth, water, fire. It's the same for us. We go earth, water, fire, air, and sound. Like that space. He said, earth, water, fire, wood, and paper. I said, why? Oh, okay. So what about air? You know, prana, tactile. He said, oh, in Chinese martial arts philosophy, air is like God. You know? That's their level of thing like that. So they see them as tactile energy, the spirit, the flow, and the energy in the body. You're saying that's their level of comprehension of what the spirit is like that. You know? And somebody else, you know, above that tactile level, because our culture is, if you go to University of California, look in the computer database for things on visual perception. In fact, it came back with like 15,000 pieces of literature on visual perception. You know? And I said, acoustical perception, 1,000. Because we're so biased to see everything, you know? But the dog, how does he experience things? With his eyes? He sees a mirror, a reflection of the dog. And what does he do? What does he do to check it out? Oh, it's an illusion. Like that. Yeah. You know, I think that's what it is, like 1,000 times more sensitive or something like that. Always. So different combinations. According to your body, according to your training, like that. But you know, higher than smell is taste, higher than taste is vision, higher than vision is touch, and higher than touch is sound, most fine. You know? And above that is the mind. And above that is the intelligence, and the subconscious. And finally, us, you know, like that. So different level, people in different levels of development, what they call, and you see the word spirit, again, spiritual. Like my grandmother is spiritual, she can predict the weather, like that. Had a seance, we talked to ghosts. Just recently, a few months ago, I was in Spain. One girl had committed suicide about 2 years ago. And her husband was having these dreams as she was coming. And she had worried about the children, you know. And then one of her friends was talking to me because she also was having these very strong dreams as this girl was coming and stuff, you know. So they had a seance, like, this bottle of stuff. And they're going to do this thing. I asked him if it was okay. I said, okay, just chant and be careful with that and stuff, you know. So then next day, the girl's husband came. He was just like, he teaches how people stop smoking and stuff. He's like, you know, regular, simple guy. He went there and stuff, and he said he was sitting there watching it, and this bottle, glass of water, just started shaking on the table like that. There's nothing, no strings, nothing. His hair started standing on end. He was like, another women were going, yeah, we know. But he said he was, you know, there's just no doubt about it. The thing was like that and stuff, and nobody there. Yeah. So they contacted spirits. No, it's a person with a psychological body, a body of mind, intelligence, and also some air, like a species like that. But no, that species doesn't have any color to it. You can feel something, but you can localize in space. You know, Bhutas, Pretas, Kushmandas, Vinyakas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, so many subtle things like that. Fairies, wind-made animals. In Mexico, a lot of them. You go into the, maybe not now, but past you go into the jungle, village people. There's so much contact with these things. You know? Shaman? Yeah. In Peru, it's like, oh. Mexico's too close to Los Angeles. But in Peru, it's like, you know. Even still? Shaman? Yeah. Yucatan? Oh, yeah? Yeah. And also in the jungle, especially, too. Here too, you get it also, but it's like in these, most of these countries in the mode of passion, you know, do things, get results, so there's not so much anything subtle. Yeah. But it's not spiritual. That's why the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, he explains what is matter and what is spirit. The last six chapters, he talks about it again. You know? But the middle six chapters, he talks about what the spirit does. Not, Eddington? Millikan. He's a guy who discovered the electron. Like, so a very famous scientist. He said during one lecture, he was talking, giving some lecture, science lecture, and he used the word spirit like that. And he saw one man in the back of the room, every time he would say the word spirit, the man would go, ooh. So he said he was sure that as soon as he asked for questions, this guy was going to ask him. You know. And yeah, is there any questions? And the guy said, Dr. Millikan, you used the word spirit many times during your lecture. Can you define what is spirit? You know. So Millikan said, I will try and define spirit if you can define what is matter. And the guy couldn't do it. So it's hard, you ask, what is matter? What is matter? Okay. But it's big. Even now, physicists argue over what is mass. One of the most fundamental things, they still argue over this. You know? So first part, Krishna talks about it, right? Yeah, yeah. See, very clearly, he said, my external energy, my separated energy. Just like you listen to your, you come home, and there's a message from your wife or something. Says, oh, I had to go right away to Chicago. I left a recording for you. You know, so you listening to that, and you know, are you listening to her? Well, it's separated, but it's her. So this is God. He's here, but he doesn't like interfere through time. So understand that, then you can start to understand what is spirit, yeah, like that, and how it's, you know, it doesn't have any gross thing. Well, God likes to drink. People offer their whiskey to God, you know, cause they, you know, yeah, idolatry, right? Yeah. So many things. The Bible almost always, when it talks about idolatry, almost always is talking about, you know, gross sex, alcohol, and these kind of things. Almost always intoxication, fornication. Almost always. It's talking about idolatry, like that. That's why you said don't do it. You know? Yeah. So we also don't do it until people come to a certain level of where they can realize that okay, that this matter, but he is not like us. So we only offer nice things, and you know, and it has to be clean, regulated, and then your Krishna will reciprocate. You know, in Mexico, so it's easy. It's easier preaching in South America and Mexico because many people know they have experiences, like when the Virgin. People know they've gone to pray to some version of Guadalupe and it works. You know, things happen, you know. So then they, you know. But then sometimes it's mixed up. You know, you go to Brujeria, the Virgin Mary, and you know, cat sacrifices. So here, he talks about that. You know, these mixtures of things. You know. Bhagavad Gita Kizat. You know. So he has some point.
Yeah. One was if you don't give a knowledge, another thing was if you don't.
Remember?
He said if you don't give a knowledge,
undigested food.
Undigested food and unused knowledge both become poison.
So Maya, like when we come across in Krishna consciousness, a lot of like if you have a money you freely give to other person because yeah. So like if we don't have a Krishna consciousness, then it's like a proportion that you won't give to others.
Yeah.
Is it like the same
in all of you? Yeah, Achahara, Upadeshamrita. Upa Goswami summarizes everything, right? In just 11 verses, like that, a little commentary. Very nice book. Yeah. He's the direct disciple of Lord Chaitanya. Right? He says, you know, the six things make it very difficult to surrender to God. One is over-collecting, Achahara. Then Prabhupada says that this also means knowing too much, because you become proud of that. You know, become, I know so much. It's very common, right? And you see that, especially in the, you know, the mental world of programming and stuff like that. You know, it's like, oh, I know C++++. You know? Well, I know C++++.
You can say everything. My productivity has decreased so much. There was a time I used to remember 19,000 of quotes and give them in my mind.
Yeah.
One of my colleagues said it can be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's mental. It's not even intelligence.
Yeah.
The Rasaraj, the BI guy, he could keep keep three games of chess in his mind at one time, and three boards of chess, and play them like that. You know? And he met this dirty Western guy, Jai Krishna, kind of a fool. He was an international master. He could keep five games in his mind. It really irritated him, like this white guy, you know, could, you know. Yeah. He was incredible. But he had almost no acoustical memory, intelligence. He was incredible, like, you know, visual images and keeping them. But he would start chanting, like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. His sound, it was just like, there's no thing, the sound, you know, like that. So I showed him this yantra, it has a machine yantra. It's like one triangle up, down, like that, across. And the east door has a triangle, so it's 108 lines. And I told him, why don't you just construct it, each mantra on the beads, 108 beads, make one line for each, like, mantra like that, along with it, you know. So he's just doing different patterns, different colors, like that. And then just, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, then he was able to, like, you know, keep his mind engaged and gradually start to develop his acoustical ability. So somebody is cursed. The best thing is to have acoustical, you know, high acoustical sense. You know? So below that is dancers. He's a dancer. Our Manipuri group is traveling universities, and we give classes to university students, like masters and PhD students in dance. And they would do something like maybe like 1 minute, and I was just watching it. And these students, American students, they would say, "Well, like this and like that, like that, like that." And they could just remember, you know, 1 minute worth of dance moves the first time. You know, can you do that? 1 minute? Maybe not, because they had this whole, you know, grammar of how to organize things, put it together, and things like that. But to me, it's incomprehensible. You know? So some people are inclined towards vision, some people are inclined towards, you know, touch, some people are inclined towards sound. And beyond that, certain bodies, you know, you get that body. Like cats apparently can see motion, but they can't see forms. You know, there's a little mouse outside in the moonlight in the grass, moves his whiskers, cat sees him. He sees the motion like that. Yeah. But dogs, they can see not so good, so form, but motion, but they can detect form, and see forms like that. You know, when a cat looks at you, you can't see a face, you know, but a dog can kind of like figure out. But, you know, cats have two noses. You know that? You know, one here, one behind the teeth, front teeth. So when a cat's trying to like smell something very carefully, you see it open his mouth. You know. Yeah, see, another set of olfactory organs behind the teeth. And they have oil behind their ears and their tails. So when your kitty cat's rubbing his head on you, he's marking you with like some smell like that. Yeah. Or his tail like that. Later on he can smell, oh, it's Lalita. Oh, she's been with some other cat like that. Oh, yeah. Interesting cat. Oh, it's Fifi. No, it's Butch. Again, all these different, this is why you describe these things. But, you know, Brahmande Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Jeev. Yeah, Lord Chaitanya says, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, Jesus Christ and Jehovah, like that. You know, there's a guy, John the Baptist, you know. You know, we get this taste, experience. You know, someone says, come with me, I'll take you to Hawaii for the weekend. Okay. Oh, okay, no expenses. And you go there, in Hawaii, there's no mosquitoes, there's no snakes, never too hot, never too cold. There's so many mangoes, the pigs eat mangoes in Hawaii. Like that. Wow. Surf's always blowing like that. You say, wow, this is where I want to live. You know? Well, the weekend's over. You know that. Yeah. So, okay, that's what, you know, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we get a taste. He comes and says, try this out. Right? So we have that knowledge that it's there and we can do that. You know, so many things. But then we have to, you know, go to work. You know, and keep the El Faro, the lighthouse there. But now I gotta take care of my habits, my activities. I gotta take care of my mind. But it's all yoga. But now it's yoga with a goal like that. I know the taste. And somebody else is progressing without this high experience, and he doesn't know. He knows, yeah, you gotta go up. But so it's very nice if we can get that. You know? And then we can try for the highest thing. Yes. Yes, thousands. He calls me in Tennessee with questions.
I want you to ask that, Mike, like we come up with a lot of devotees in this thing.
Yeah.
So some people won't give you knowledge or something.
Yeah.
So is it like they, in deep inside, they don't have Krishna consciousness, that's why they cannot give it to you? Or, like, I heard about a story about a crackpot. If you don't share crackpot, you know, like if you don't share the knowledge, then it becomes like a crack in your pot.
Oh.
It starts leaking.
Yeah. No, because again, it's different levels. People responding to different things like that. As long as we have any attachment, it's like a bull, so big, but you get one little ring in his nose this big, and you can take him wherever you want to take him, like that. You know? So even though we have a little attachment, you know, then, you know, still Maya, she can take us to any kind of species. But we don't experience like other people. You know? You see dogs, like dogs or cats, they're very spiritually advanced. There used to be one dog, one cat actually. And she would come to the Archeek in the temple in Berkeley every night and stand outside and watch the devotees chant, 7 o'clock, watch the devotees chanting. Every night she'd come, watch the devotees chanting like that. She was orange. And then Madonna Missy would give her some milk sweets like that. But every evening she'd come and she'd watch like that, you know, devotees singing and dancing, you know. And she would steal brahmachari's socks. And the monks, she would steal their socks and walk off. So something, you know. You know. And sometimes even more than that, this animal so attractive. So it's a devotee, it's an advanced soul. But, you know, Maya can take you, she can make you anything, as long as it'll attach me. But you don't experience it like somebody who's totally engrossed in it. You know, there's more than this. Bhagavad Gita says that, no? Yoga Brahmastra. So again, people at different levels, devotees are on different levels and different situations in terms of how much they're... Because externally, you can't judge everything just by external activity. Somebody can be can you give the example, like some Buddhists. They're very austere, very clean, very generous, very merciful, right? And there's no anger in their minds, right? So their senses are in the mode of goodness, their minds in the mode of goodness, but in their heart they're thinking, but because of all this, someday I will become God. Like that. So in their heart, they're in the mode of intelligence, in the grossest ignorance, the most deep ignorance. Maybe you become Bill Gates, but you're going to become God. I mean, I directly heard yogis say that. I mentioned that. What was the guy's name? Baba Ramdas. Remember him? Henry Alford. He went to India, and he was wondering. He was a professor at Harvard. Harvard, yeah. And he had all these prizes. He was scuba diving in the Bahamas, and everything you could want. Full professor at Harvard University. But he would look in the mirror sometimes and wonder, wow, but who am I? This is all just, you know, prizes and names and stuff and mental abilities, you know. So finally his mother died, you know. And it was all very depressing. He was very attached to her. So he went to India and he met one beach bum from San Diego, a guy there, blonde-haired guy, wandering around in India, maybe about 1965 or something. So he started traveling with him and they would just go to ashrams and have diarrhea and just wandering in the villages like that, you know. And he said at one point he was outside under the stars remembering how his mother had had cancer of the spleen like that. And so he'd been very close to the very end. And so he never told anybody in India, this guy, nobody, about his mother. So then about 3 days later they came, probably came into Vrindavan, either Vrindavan or Lucknow. He was in Vrindavan. And then he took him to see Nim Karoli Baba. And the Braj Parikrama around Vrindavan, this town, just before you come to Krishna, across the road to Mathura, and go back to Krishna Balaram temple, that's his tomb is there. Temple. He was a real magical guy. So anyway, he tuck him in, and Nim Karoli Baba is sitting there with like a bunch of people, and all he has on is his kopins, his loincloth, and a blanket, and he's talking to people, looking at them, and this you know, this blonde-haired hippie guy comes in, and with the professor, Henry Alpert, you know, and he says, oh, hello, and he brought a friend, another Western like that, you know. So he looks at him, and he said, oh, your mother died. And before she died, she got very big in the stomach like that, you know? Like that. So Henry Alpert said his mind started like trying to figure out like, you know, his mind started to supply like, you know, explanations, you know? Well, this guy, this and that. It was getting worse and worse. His mind was panicking more and more, like trying to find more and more like. So finally his mind was coming to the conclusion the guy was a CIA agent. He was, you know, was an agent for the FBI or something, and people were giving him dossiers. And stuff like that. And at that point, his intelligence just had to just like, you know, turn off his mind. And then he felt this really intense pulling in his heart. And he just broke down and started just crying like that, you know? about his mother like that. And then Kroli Baba said, oh, take him, give him some sweets. So he calmed down, he gave him some sweets. You know. The next day, he said he had some LSD with him. This was when LSD was just becoming, you know, popular. So he thought, let me hit like maybe like, you know, maybe like six dosages. Let me just see this guy. If this guy knows what it is, does it give you mystical powers or what is it like that? You know, so he said, you know, next day, and people sitting there, he says, you know, Yogi Ji, you know, I have these things, these pills, this and that, and what do they do? And the guy looked at them, and he said, oh, they give you cities. He took all six like that. Yeah, and then so Henry Alper, his biologist, someone, he's like, so I was calculating the guy's age, his body weight, and what's going to happen to this guy. He's sitting there watching, you know. And after like 15 minutes, the guy, nothing happened. The guy kind of smiles at him, you know. I don't know. He's nothing happened. And it was just amazing like that. The guy, every now and again, the guy would kind of like, you know, smile. You know, and nothing happened, you know. So he became very convinced, you know. Yeah. So he stayed there and had all this education. Now, many people say he didn't really understand what the guy was trying to teach him, you know. But he came back and he produced these long playing records. I heard them, two of them, four sides. It was incredible. I was sitting and listening to things all the way through, straight through. And he was just describing very systematically this thing about becoming detached from the material world, becoming attached to this. He was just going through all these different levels like that. And he said, and finally, you know, you come to this wall. You know, all ultimate attachment's gone like that. You know? And at that point, you have to go through this door. And only a guru can take you through it like that. See, at that point, you become one with the universe. At that point, you're having sex with every part of the universe at every moment, like that. I mean, sex with the car tolls, with the carpet, with the sky, like that. You know, you become God and enjoy the universe in the most intense way, like that. You know? But that was the conclusion he got. Some people say it wasn't what they were trying to teach him like that. But it was that directly. In the end, you become God and you enjoy the whole universe. You know? So again, maybe different people on different levels, you know, of like how to. Externally, they make very rapid advancement. They learn the philosophy. They learn the culture, but they can't control their mind, you know, like that, you know, or else they can control their mind and senses. But in their heart, they still have, you know, they're becoming advanced devotees because they want to torture people, right? You know, the best place to torture people is in a religious organization. Really, one Brahmin. Was going to the temple to do puja, you know, worship the gods with his flowers, incense, and one dog ran in front of him. So he like threw a rock at the dog, you know, hit him in the face, some blood coming in. So the dog approaches him and said, that's unfair. My shadow didn't even touch you, like that. And this dog is talking, you know. And so, come with me, I'm going to make a complaint to Ram, to the king. You know? So this kind of Brahma looks around, all these people looking at him, and so obviously, they all got and stood in line in the king's court. It was Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. And the king's looking, and what is this? Some dog with some dry blood on his face and a very high-class Brahmin and some people like that. What is going on? So finally, it was their turn, and they came, and Sita and Ram are listening. The dog explains what happens. And then the Brahmin and he said, well, was it true? Is this true? And the Brahmin said, yes, it's a fact. I was arrogant, and I hurt this animal with no reason like that. Okay, So then Ram asked the dog, he says, well, what do you think his punishment should be? He's a talking dog, maybe, you know. The dog says, oh, you should make him the head of a large spiritual institution. Okay. And then Ram says, well, that's punishment? And the dog says, that's what I was in my last lifetime. Yeah, so you see, so many cardinals, everything else. It's so easy to really, you know. So externally, somebody may be very developed, but internally, so we have to see. Okay? You better row your own boat. And Godzilla is waiting for you out there. Yeah. Tomorrow night, we're going to go to prison. Yeah. Chandra is a psychologist in the prison. I looked on the internet, it came right up. I put Snake River Prison. Came back, all these things, you know, the map. And the satellite maps of things, there's no satellite map of that area. Maybe because someone trying to help you escape.
That would be a reason. Usually with addresses.
Yeah.
They do a satellite
view. You can see like that.
Yeah.
Well, we have to have the road view.
Yes.
Yeah. This thing was nothing. I think maybe because it's too far in the country, but also I have a suspicion also because it's like...
Actually, if you were to use some of the addresses on Stanton Boulevard,
you might find something.
Been there.
Yeah.
You would be able to find that.
Yeah.
And then it'd be interesting to see if this thing would point out.
Yeah, because it really calculates if there's covering there, or you go over the fence, can we get close enough to cut the fence, and...
Yeah,
but, you know... They plan on that stuff, yeah. Yeah.
I'll give you an example.
Okay.
There was a... There's a group in prison. They're called the AB.
The Aryan Brotherhood.
Aryan Brotherhood.
Okay. They're white.
Yes.
Blonde.
And,
not always. Okay. Yeah, Hitler wasn't white.
They have some kind of thing going on with this.
What the standard is for be part of the club.
Yeah. So they were all in our intensive management unit.
Okay.
Maximum.
Yeah.
Security.
Yeah.
And they took some thread from their underwear.
Yeah.
And toothpaste and some other abrasive.
Yeah.
And they were able to saw through like butter. The plexiglass. So they did it over a period of a month or a couple months.
Yeah.
And they're one of the one groups that they don't do a lot of broadcasting. They're very dangerous because they don't talk.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
And so they were able, there was one other Indian who's very, very boisterous. He's with, by himself.
Yeah.
Always very bright at the oceans.
Yeah.
And they just bided their time.
Oh, my God.
So they, two inmates were able to get out.
Yeah.
Two officers were escorting that other inmate.
Yeah.
They planned this down to the team.
Wow.
They got out, attacked the inmate.
Yeah.
Officers had to back away because they were trying to stop
him. Yeah.
And when they told him, he went back off on killing.
Yeah.
So they stabbed that other inmate 31 times.
Wow. Somebody counted it, huh?
Well, when they had him at the hospital, they hold that, hold that, hold that, hold that, hold that. So after stabbing him 31 times, the inmate had this really, really big ego. He was reflective. He says, wow, I don't know what to think about. I'm really lucky to still be here. I think I found out. But the interesting point, and we've been talking about this, is... There are certain modes that you can get it.
Wow.
And whatever your motivation may be, your desires, it's like guns, right? You kind of fix on what you want to do. And everybody was just, the whole institution, all this, that could be me, it could be me. I never once thought that.
Yeah.
I never thought that that could be me.
Yeah.
I think I'm in prison.
Yeah.
That's the hazard. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole material, you know, the process is just danger at every step.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For them, they really thought that they were actually secure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things that could happen.
Yeah.
But this is an example.
Wow.
Well, someone has the right motivation, and, you know, not a blade of grass, but sanction. If it was their time, those two officers would have finished.
Wow.
If that was the design. But they didn't have that motivation. They just wanted that one gun.
He was just bad mouthing him.
He is this. No one likes him. No inmates. No staff likes him.
My God!
He's,
wow.
He's burned both bridges, you know, and he just never thought.
Because there's
a pretend mode, even in prison.
Yeah.
There's this mode. I can do these things.
Yeah.
I'm at this level.
I'm God. I'm the controller.
Exactly.
Figure out how to control the system.
And it even exists with
that. I can't figure why they do so much effort to harass the guy, though.
Maybe because they were thinking, no, we're God, correct.
Wow. It was like a mental puzzle to show there.
Yeah, well, it was another way that
they... if I could do that, I would probably escape and try and stab some kind of prison.
Well, see, again, it's the motivation.
Yeah.
You know, if I want to escape, then I'll plan all these things.
Yeah. It's whether it be... Again, this again, I told you last night we were talking about Paradise Lost. The devil, all he has to do is apologize and go back to heaven. And he makes this super famous phrase, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. So while we're here, we're the kings of the prison. After that, everyone respects the Aryan Brotherhood, right?
it was hell plans of being. They would put bars on, like they can't get through.
But
24 hours to figure out how to get it.
Yeah, but now they're going to, that's the next thing. Okay, we know they're going to react now. We'll show them again.
But they never think that psychology works.
Yeah.
Psychology is the best defense. Right?
Yeah.
Because they're trying to use some level, I'm going to prove that I'm smart.
Yeah.
And then they have to counter. And they often can't counter.
Yeah.
Because they're not focused on those things.
Wow. He was saying, too, they take the toilet paper and make a thing out of it, use toothpaste on it, wet. Yeah. It becomes solid. I mean, I think you get so many realizations about philosophy. That's how they were stabbing him.
Yeah. They have tables and they took pieces off the table. And made these.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So a little more kirtan and like that. Okay. No problem. Good job. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Pahima. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima. Krishna, 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 hey! Krishna, 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 hey! Hey, Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Pahima. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhagavan ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you all very much. Back home.